So, I want to begin by reading 1 Corinthians 7:24, which I read Sunday, and that is a general apostolic instruction to the people of God, and it reads, "Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God." The Lord help us. I mentioned on Sunday with the seven letters to the churches in the book of the Revelation that the first thing that the Lord brings out that besets the churches, that besets the people of God today, is lack of balance. We easily become unbalanced. And that reference has to do with the church at Ephesus. And he could commend them for what they hated and how they expressed that hatred in the things that they were very orthodox in. Nevertheless, he said, "I have this against you. You've left your first love." And so, this is scripture. I know of a coach who used to say that bad habits are hard to get rid of. Wrong concepts are hard to get rid of. You've all heard the expression, practice makes perfect. That's a lie. And he used to emphasize the fact that practice doesn't make perfect. Practice only solidifies all the imperfections that you practice and do. Makes them permanent. And therein lies a great, great challenge. Scripture. Let's get to Scripture. We need to get to Scripture, and we need to be balanced in our study of the Scripture and let the Word of God have its way. Because, again, only perfect practice makes perfect. That's a good one, isn't it? And when you first hear it, you know, I mean, who's heard practice makes perfect all their life? All their life? No, it doesn't. Unless the practice is perfect, what you're practicing is what you don't do right. And God help us to stay away from that kind of thing. Anyway, balance, moderation. "Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God." So I'm coming off of some of the thoughts from Sunday on simplicity. Daily living. The problem with mankind was the problem of disloyalty, rebellion, disobedience to God. I suggest that the heart of the gospel is to break man of that disloyalty, disobedience to God, and bring man back to loyalty, obedience, confidence in God. God help us to that end. And that, according to the Scripture, is a challenge for every one of us. As important as missions are, the Gospel of John addresses the balance in chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And therein, it presents both sides of the coin. Chapter 13 and 14 have to do with drawing near to God. Chapter 15 and 16 have to do with having drawn near to God, having grown in our relationship with God, Now we are to go out into the world and bear fruit for the glory of God. And so the balance again. Peter will bring forth the balance in his epistle. And he references our priesthood. And when he references our priesthood, he calls our priesthood first and foremost a holy priesthood. That is, in its dedication to God. Very important. And then he calls it our royal priesthood. And that is that once we've grown and developed ourselves in our holy priesthood, oh, what a privilege it is to go forth and function in our royal priesthood, which is to show forth the excellencies of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Very important, isn't it? Balance. Balance. You hear about the Great Commission. That's a term that it's not in the Bible. And when they refer to the Great Commission, they speak of it as if it applies to everybody. But contextually, that so-called Great Commission is something that was only given to apostles. That's who it was to. And when that instruction was given to the apostles, you'll find the balance there too. Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Thank God for that work. Very important work that was given to them. But it didn't end there. Now they were to what? Teach. Teach. And if we personally haven't learned, if we personally don't know Scripture, we can't teach, can we? And so, again, balance. God help us in these things. Now, I wanted to go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I've got 15 minutes and, you know, there's a lot here. And the Lord help us with these things. But in 1 Samuel chapter 30, you've got an account there of what happened to David at Ziklag. And 1 Samuel 30, it tells us that it came to pass when David and the men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive, etc. And verse 5, David's two wives were taken captives, and David, verse 6, was greatly distressed, and the people spake of stoning him, and because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? Always. Encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Back to the statements, there are no experts here. Thank God some of us have gotten further on in the journey than others. But as far as experts, they're in heaven. If you're still here, you've still got lessons to learn. Well, God help us in these things. But anyway, at that point, David said to Abiathar, the priest, verse 7, to fetch him the ephod. And David, verse 8, inquired at the Lord. How important that is. In the deepest distresses of life, in the deepest disappointments and difficulties of life, to inquire of the Lord. God help us in these things. Daily living. Daily living. Daily living for him. Anyway, this story is an important story because there's an ordinance and a principle that's established in the Davidic kingdom here in this chapter. And that is that they went and inquired, and the Lord said, yes, go, you'll recover them all. And they went. And it says, verse 16, and when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad. In other words, they found all the people, and they went after them. And verse 17, and David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small or great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And our hearts go to our Lord Jesus Christ. He restored that which he took not away. And thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ who has recovered all. It's his spoil, though. Thank God for him. But now, it says, David, verse 20, took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. Wonderful, isn't it? It's not yours. It's not mine. It's our Lord Jesus. He recovered it all. And David came to the 200 men that were so faint, and this goes back to verse 9, thank you. So David went, and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bizor, where those that were left behind stayed. So, verse 10, but David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bizor. Now, there it's important to make a distinction between could not and would not. So we need to make those distinctions, okay? But yet, now David comes back, and he comes back to the, verse 21, to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Bizor, and they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial. That's an unfortunate thing, isn't it? I hope we don't have any of them around here in our assembly. But you can't take it for granted, can't you? And therein is the importance of reception in the assembly and order in the assembly. Because, well, from the beginning in the New Testament, men who were false teachers and who were corrupt men had crept in unaware. Yeah. So again, it's important, isn't it? The Lord's work. And then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them anything of the spoil that we have recovered. It was David's spoil. Save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and leave us. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brother. He called him his brother. With that which the Lord hath given us. It's all grace, you know. Who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this manner? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part. Oh, shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. This is God's word. See, this is the way God says it. This is the way David established it in his kingdom. Verse 24, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Verse 25, and it was so from that day forward that he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Shout hallelujah for that. I tell you, my brother, and I tell you, my sister, and I got to tell my own heart, you know, I can only serve the Lord in what he has appointed me. I can only do it in my daily life. I can only do it in my family. I can't love Phil Meisner's wife the way I'm supposed to love my wife. I got to love my wife. Right? And the New Testament says unto the wives, be subject to your own husband. I mean, that's the one you've got. And when there's a man, when there's a woman, when there's a sister, when there's a mother, and she endures difficulty and trouble, but she endures it and continues in a relationship and continues faithful in the relationship to preserve her marriage, to help her husband, to give her children a home, to so suffer loss for the sake of the glory of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus. For the sake of her children, the sake of the gospel. I tell you, there's no greater sacrifice than that in the sight of God, you know. It is precious. And it cost God his son at Calvary for that sister or that brother or that person in their daily life, in the lot appointed to them, in their situation, to learn to be loyal, devoted, and faithful to the living God. And when we who profess to believe in the priesthood of all believers all of a sudden begin to set apart and elevate certain groups or certain some as if they're doing something for the Lord that's more important than what you're doing for, we're in dangerous territory. We're in dangerous territory. God help us. For the wonder of what it means to be a priest of the living God and to find myself with the Christ shed blood bought price to give me that priesthood where I can learn to serve the living God in my life, in my obscurity, in my situation, in my profession, in my career, in my marriage, in my home, with all my heart, as best as I can. Do we say amen to that? Very important to get hold of. Very important.
That's the principle that's laid out here, the Old Testament, that relates to us in the New Testament, the first verse of Scripture that you read this evening. That every man,
wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now, if God comes in and calls you to a separate, that.
Yeah. I think you're short-stroked in those verses in Corinthians, but I get her.
It's not mine.
I'm just saying.
Not mine.
He was talking about those who were found as Jews, those who were not found as circumcised. But
those who were found single, those who were found married, that's right. Abide with God. Serve God. And that's what the apostles taught throughout the book of Acts. Where they went into the different churches.
Yeah.
But not just the cults, the assemblies do too. They've done it. They do it, and commended workers do it, and they come in and they teach, and they take away the wonder and the glory and the beauty.
No.
It is what it is. Yeah.
You find David had evil men going to battle with him.
Sure.
And you had men staying with the supply.
Sure.
But he didn't share the spoil with everyone back in the town. I mean,
But he did at the end of the chapter.
They got back their wives.
No. Of all that spoil, he sent gifts to the different cities of Judah.
Yes, that's right.
And it was all grace. It was all spoil. Yeah, absolutely. No. You'll have to look at it again.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, well, look at it again, because that's not what it says.
I'm
just saying, brother. What it says is, 1 Samuel 30, it says, at the end, it says, let's go. And David came to Ziklag and sent of the spoil unto the elders of Judah, even to his friends, saying, behold, a present to them which were in Bethel, to them which were in South Ramoth, to them which were in Jeter, to them which were in Arazor. In other words, all through Judah, all the towns and the elders all throughout Judah. It's all for God's people. But coming to that, you take the Lord Jesus, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. This principle and this ordinance of David's kingdom, the Lord picks up on it. Exactly right. Exactly right.
So, I understand the principle of the men who were, there was an equal portion for those, like I've always used this as thinking you're either on the supply line or you're on the front line, but you're rewarded. The Lord gives that reward to...
Matthew 10. He that receiveth you receiveth me. Verse 40. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. I mean, how do you expect to receive a prophet's reward? I'll tell you, I'm not going to receive it by being a prophet, you know. I'm not a prophet. But here's the wonder of the Lord's kingdom. Here's the wonder of the Lord's ordinances and statutes and ways, that the likes of me, who will never be a prophet, can receive a prophet's reward. How can I receive a prophet's reward? Prayer life. Well, the wonder of it. Prayer life. A mother who raises up children to know the Lord Jesus, raises up children to live, to serve him and honor him. A mother who, well, Billy Graham had a mother. Oh, the wonder of it. Okay. But when we start saying a Billy Graham's more important than his mother, we got problems. That's not the way it is it? The priesthood of all believers. Now, if I wasn't a Titanic, and, you know, all of a sudden, there's a Titanic, the Titanic's going down, and there's the lifeboat. And there's only one seat left, and there's two of us. And the two of us is me and Billy Graham. Well, I would pray that God would give me the grace at that point to say, you know what? Let Billy take it. He's going to do a lot more than I'm going to do. That's a work of God in the heart, isn't it? And if at that moment, by the grace of God, I have that ability to say, let Billy take it, guess what? I'm going to share in all that reward. God help us to be balanced, man. And this is the thrust here. This is Scripture. This is what Scripture teaches. And not only he that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. That's glorious. And God help us to encourage God's people. Blood-bought saints, priests of God, called with a holy calling, every one of them. And in whatever place they were called by God, God's instruction to them is, therein abide with God. And that life is as precious And that priesthood is as one more one and cost Christ the same as how God would choose to use any human being. And the bottom line is, and I don't want to get into the personal thing, but I've seen a lot of people out in mission fields for all the wrong reasons, man. My responsibility is that whatever I do it for the right reason, which is for the glory of the Lord Jesus. But God help us with these desires of being great and what I can do. And God help us with that. Anyway, I wanted to go to one more, and I'll stop here. It's chapter 12, which is Matthew. And there the emphasis is, verse 6, but I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And what's the significance of that? Well, back to that sister or that brother in obscurity, trapped in a difficult life, trapped in a bad job, trapped in a bad marriage, trapped. I mean, you can say it any way you want to say it. Poverty. You know, the struggles of poverty and so on. And yet, rich towards God in prayer, wherever they are in their obscurity. And one of the references that I had was David. And David, when Samuel went out, remember, his own father passed all the sons before him. And finally, Samuel said, are these all your sons? Yeah, I got one more left, but who cares about him? He's out keeping the sheep. Faithful to God. Wherein God had called him. Huh? And in the next chapter, he gets up and he says, who is this Philistine? I'm going to slay this Philistine. You can't do that. What do you mean I can't do that? I was out taking care of the sheep. Nobody was watching. In my everyday life. And the bear came. I didn't have a weapon. But I killed him. It was my duty. And the lion came. Nobody was watching, but it was my duty to take care of the sheep, you know. And I slew the lion. And the God who delivered the bear and the lion into my hand, he'll deliver this Philistine into my hand as well. Oh, God, help us. Let's encourage one another. And let's get away from these things of grandiose endeavors and greatness and look what we can do. Let's be faithful where we are. Yeah? And parents, marriages, children, oh, by all means, put a missionary ambition in the heart of your children. No greater career than to give your life to a calling like that. If the Lord so calls you, prepare them, equip them. But what's the point about a greater than the temple is here? Oh, the wonder of it. That in the person of our Lord Jesus, you don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem. You don't have to go to the temple in Jerusalem to serve the Lord. And if you happen to live in Germany, well, you couldn't serve the Lord. And you couldn't prepare the sacrifices because you had to be in that temple in Jerusalem. In fact, you had to be a Levite, and you had to be there, and you had to be that. Oh, thank God for the wonder of it. A greater than the temple is here. And whatsoever you do, do it with all your heart unto the Lord. For you serve the Lord Christ. And of the Lord, you shall receive your reward. Amen? Go for it, brother. Yeah. That's amen. That's the wonder of it. That woman in that marriage, that you in your home, you in your old age, us in our old age, we can't do a greater than the temple is here. The Lord Jesus. And I can be in a hospital bed, tied down, I can't even get up, and I can intercede and pray. Judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes. And when he comes, then shall every man have. Anyway, balance. God help us in these things. This is Scripture. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Will you close us, brother?
Discussion has gone on tonight, but hopefully, Father, you know.